This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio, and we have a special, special, special guest for you. We're joined by Bellator fighter Rick Rieger. Rick, how's it going?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. What an honor to have me on the show. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. No, we're just so stoked to have you on the show. Like, you are such a great fighter, and you're a great human being, and we just wanted to touch bases with you because we know you're a wealth of knowledge and everything, and this is amazing to have you on, so thank you so much.
Oh, man, pleasure's all mine.
Oh, no problem. So, Rick, for our listening audience, for the ones that are uninitiated, I was wondering if you could tell us how you first became involved with MMA.
Well, you know, it's a tricky situation there. Growing up, I was always involved in sports. You know, I grew up playing the typical football and baseball and, you know, pretty athletic kid. Growing up in a single-parent home where my mother was working, you know, two jobs to get us by, I was a knucklehead and tended to be in the streets more than anything. You know, kind of prepared me for this route that I chose. Started off, you know, dabbling in boxing. Had some hardship here and there and took some time off and ended up running into my business partner, Sean Sharkey, who was a good family friend, longtime family friend. And, you know, he got me in the gym and we started the training MMA and, you know, I took it like a street fight, man, and bit down on my mouthpiece and pushed as hard as I could and now we're here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Tell me, because I know like a lot of fighters, you know, they start out in high school wrestling and then some of them graduate on to college wrestling and then they get into boxing or jiu-jitsu or... Did you do any? Because I know you said you played sports and you know growing up. Did you ever get into wrestling or grappling?
You know what? My fighting career began. Let's see, fourth grade summer going into fifth grade. The area that I grew up in. You know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like it's the ghetto or the worst neighborhood. But it's definitely not the best neither. I wore the wrong color jersey to school one day and had some issues ever since. You know, I had to learn to defend myself. So from that point forward, I kind of just dove into self-defense, you know, in all aspects. Yes, I did dabble in wrestling. Our football coach in high school actually said, you know, this is good for your takedowns, good for your discipline, go out there and try. You know, I competed for one season. It wasn't really for me. But as far as the actual freestyle fighting starts off, yeah, that was about 11 years old, just knuckling up in the bar trails.
Absolutely, absolutely. When you were growing up, because I know you said you've always been into sports and everything, and you've always been active. Did you ever, I guess, see yourself becoming a fighter, becoming a signed fighter?
Oh man, no way. You know. It never crossed my mind. You know, the group of kids that I grew up around, like, it's very similar to the area I grew up around. Wasn't the worst, but it wasn't the best, you know? So, and I'm not glorifying street fighting or violence or anything like that. But, you know, I'm proud that I was able to teach myself these different disciplines in order to defend myself. You know, I've never thought, hey, I'm going to fight on TV one day. That never crossed my mind.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I know it must have been trippy. Do you remember, like, when you first got signed in Bellator? Like, what were your thoughts like? Because, you know, Bellator, to me, I know, like, a lot of people, you know, they like UFC better. And I guess, to me, Bellator and UFC, they're kind of like Coke and Pepsi. You know, they're both really good. Personally, I like Bellator a little bit better just because two of the fighters I know from college wrestling, they made the transition over. And
a lot of people have, like, their choice between the two. They're both really amazing. But do you remember, like, what it was like when you first did Bellator? What was it like for you? I'm sure it must have been pretty tricky.
No, I definitely remember it. You know, it's a crazy roller coaster, mixed martial arts. And more than being physically sound, you have to be mentally sound, right? Because here's how this game works. They like you, and they're going to feed you, or you're the right guy for their opponent, okay? Now, either one, you have to go out there and perform, regardless of which side you land on, which, you know, whether it's heads or tails, you got to go out there and put on a show, because why else do you do this? Why else do we do these grueling sessions? You know, why else do we train hard and sacrifice and make all these commitments? You know, we don't do that to turn down these opportunities. Regret comes from missed opportunities.
That's right.
So my manager, Dan Black, he calls me and he says, "Hey, Rick, they got this fight for you. Short notice. You know, it's in 8 days.
Damn.
It's at 170 against Andre Fajilio." I said, "Okay, Dan." He said, "How much you walking around at right now?" I said, "Dan, I'm about 168. He said, okay. So go eat, and I'll bring the contracts over."
Wow.
So no problem. So, yeah, he comes over the house. I was excited, obviously. You know, as I grow in the sport, there's certain situations that pop up that are just, you know, mind-blowing at times. You know, this is definitely one of those. I have a few of those, but this is definitely one of those situations. You know, I'm reading the contract, and I see Bellator MMA. I see televised event. I see Andre Fajilio. I see 170. I see Rick Rieger. Seeing my name on that contract, you know, for a 3-fight contract on with televised national television, oh, man, mind-blowing. Who would have thought, you know? Like I said, I just grew up fighting in the streets. Would have never thought I'd be on national TV.
Yes, sir. Man, that's crazy. So, like, have you ever struggled to make weight? Because I know, like, you know, weight cutting and everything is a big part of the sport. A lot of people don't realize that. Have you ever battled to make weight?
Yeah. So you know, when I'm talking about these situations that are mind-blowing that pop up, you know, like I said, I have a handful of these situations. You know, a few years back, I get a call from Ed Soares from RFA. He says, "Rick, I need you to fight in 2 weeks. Can you fight?" I said, "Who is this?" You know, "It's Ed from RFA. Man, you want to fight on TV?" And I'm like, "Sign me up." "Oh, well, don't you want to know it?" No, I don't care. Sign me up. Send the contract to me. He said, "Rick, but it's at, you know, do you want to know the weight?" No. "Just send it to my manager. I'll fill it out and get it back to you." "Okay, no problem." Sent over the contract. Very similar situation. I sit down. I'm reading over the contract. And, you know, I see RFA and I see James Mutasri. James Mutasri, I don't know if you're familiar with him. Very successful right now in the UFC, one of the top-tier fighters, you know, in the welterweight division. So, you know, and I see my name there, and I'm just like, "Man, this is okay, you know, let's do this. I'm excited." So, you know, short notice, so I start worrying about the weight cut. The fight's at 155, I'm walking around 170, not too big of a cut. Start cleaning up my diet a little bit, start dwindling down, hop on the scale. You know, 165, easy cut, you know. Hop in the car, we drive out to L.A. I live about 6-7 hours away from L.A., you know, so hop in the car, drive out there, go meet with Ed at Black House MMA. Hop on the scale, and I realized that second it was going to be rough, because I hop on the scale and realized my scale was 5 pounds off.
Wow.
Yeah. So that made for a rough day, you know, a 24-hour cut, 15 pounds to go. And I was already kind of focused on my diet, so I didn't have too much fat to go. And now, granted, you can always cut that 10% water and go in the fight and be depleted, you know, and that's, unfortunately, that's kind of what I did, you know. I was in the sauna left and right, in and out, in the hot tub, and the, you know, the whole shebang, man. I think I quit like 5 times.
Okay.
You know, I had my stepdad lock me in the sauna. He said, "Man up, you're gonna make it." And I'm like, "Tell him I fucking quit. Like, I don't care." So, long story short, man, I made weight. I went out there. We put on a show. Ended up getting caught in a choke and refused to tap. So I went to sleep on TV.
Dang. Holy crap, dude. Holy crap. So in your opinion, because I know that you've been at this for a while now, but what do you think makes a good fighter?
Man, you know, okay, so I heard this on a football show, and I can't remember for the life of me what show it was, okay? But the guy was telling the player, he said, "You got to be a coachable, but be able to do your own thing too." You know, so do what you're told, but don't only do what you're told. So in translation to me, you know, that to me that's come prepared, right?
Uh-huh.
But be able to adapt. Be able to adjust. MMA is all about pinpointing a weakness, exposing a weakness, and capitalizing. You know, I don't care if you're a D1 collegiate wrestler. Okay, shoot in. Let me grab your neck and choke your ass out. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a black belt in jiu-jitsu. If I catch you on that chin, you're gonna forget every submission you ever learned. You know. And it's in every aspect, okay? So, you know, and I mean, I can even go for boxing. We've seen it with James Toney. Granted, yes, he was at the end of his career, whoop-de-whoop, blah, 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 right? But if you don't take this shit seriously, you will get hurt. This is not a game. This is not, it's not basketball. You're not just going to get the ball stolen from you and pout. It's not football. You're not going to, you know, make an incomplete pass. No, you're going to get knocked the fuck out, wake up in the back room, and forget what you were doing the last 10 minutes.
Yep. That's right. That's right. And to me, I think that's what makes the sport of MMA so beautiful, because there is no script, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people that, you know, are professional wrestling fans, you know, they sometimes don't like to admit that that's all scripted, you know what I mean? This is real life, like you said. So, it doesn't matter what your resume is. You could be a D1 college wrestling champion. You could be an Olympic wrestling, you know, qualifier or champion. But it's like in that ring, you know, there's so much. I mean, you're matched up so well that the fight could go either way, as we saw with, you know, Ronda Rousey a couple weeks ago. So,
I think Joe Rogan said it best, right? The houses versus trousers. You know, boxers come out, and I love boxing, don't get me wrong. Boxing is my favorite sport. It is, 100%. I love boxing. I box all the time. I'm trying to make my pro debut in boxing, had some exhibition fights. I love boxing. But boxing comes out, you know that they're gonna punch each other.
Right.
Okay? Muay Thai fighters come out, you know that they're going to punch, kick, elbow, knee. You know, okay, we got it. Wrestling, then we're going for a takedown. Jiu-jitsu, we're going for some MMA. Anything can happen at any point in time, and that's the excitement factor. That's what keeps fans on the edge of their seat, because this guy's supposed to knock this guy out, but this guy might tap this guy out.
Yep. Man, you are so right. You're so right. Like, there's just so much going on at any given time, and it's like you've got to be ready as a fighter. You know what I mean? Like, to be able to do everything, punch, you know, to box, you know, kickbox, wrestle, you know what I mean? Because you never know what your opponent's going to do or anything, so.
Yeah, no, that's the truth. I learned that first day in the gym. My business partner and he was my manager and was helping me out, just been a big male role model for me, you know, Sean Starkey. You know, that was the first thing he told me, you know. It's like he loves to reiterate famous quotes, you know. So the Mike Tyson, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face.
Yeah, that's right.
I feel like that, you know. Joe Frazier, life doesn't run from you, it runs at you. You know, that's the type of guy. He's an older guy, you know, and that's his generation. You know, that's when things were built different. You know, people in cars. So I learned that at an early spot in my career. You know, he definitely put that in my head, and then I've been running with that ever since.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. In your opinion, is it better that a fighter be feared or respected? Because I know that there's a little bit of both that goes into a bout. You know what I mean? Like, you definitely want to intimidate your opponent. You know, you don't want to come across perceived as a joke or anything like that, or weak or inferior. But you know, you want to be respected too, because you know you're a man. You know what I mean, man? You know, you want to be respected. We don't like disrespect. But in your opinion, What do you think is more important, fear or?
You know, that's a tough one, because at the end of the day, you know, fear or no fear, it doesn't change the outcome. You know, I tell people that all the time. So you could be scared or not, it doesn't matter. You get knocked out the same. You know, being respected, I feel like your credentials should speak for your, you know, for you being respected. And but you know, you can't really control what others do and how they perceive. You know, how they look at you and perceive you. So it's hard to say. I know that in MMA, you know, these guys get it in their head that they got to be the fucking badass, and they're in the back punching themselves and getting their adrenaline. Okay, well, adrenaline cancels out stamina every time. So I'll be in the back sleeping. But,
yeah.
But I have seen it. Like, I've trained a lot with Nick and Nate Diaz and their camp, and I'm a big fan of their fighting styles and just them in general as people. And they're definitely both of those. Those guys are feared and respected at the same fucking time. And it'll put you in a position where you will mentally, physically collapse under them.
Man, that's so true. That's so true.
You've seen it in the Cowboy Cerrone fight. Okay, Cowboy wanted to play tough guy.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Well, he got out tough guy.
He sure did, man. He sure did. He shut him down. God. Yeah, they sure did, man. Yeah, you're right.
You know, but at the end of the day, like I said, it's a fight. Fucking tough guys get dropped too. You know, I'm trying to be I appreciate the tough guy fighting style as a fan, but as a fighter, I want to be more sufficient. I want to put on the show, but I definitely like the low risk, high reward approach.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I think, and I think that kind of that lends itself to like a more long term career as well. Because I mean, obviously, with that approach, I would imagine that you wouldn't get burnt out as fast. And
you look at Floyd Mayweather, right? He got a lot of fans that love him. He got a lot of fans that hate him. A lot of fans say he's boring. A lot of fans say he has the best defense that boxing has ever seen. But I'll tell you this much. He has the biggest bank account and doesn't get hit that often.
That's right. That is right. Yeah, and he's healthy too. I mean, because you know what I mean. Like because a lot of people, because he does this thing where he, you know, a lot of people think that he, you know, he runs from a fight, but he's actually, if you look at it in the way that boxing is, he's actually a really smart fighter, because the way that, you know, with his technique and everything, he just basically outboxes. Like, he knows the sport, the back of his hand, and he just outboxes. I mean, he outboxes.
Yeah.
So.
You're right, 100%. I agree with you on that. You know that that's exactly right. He outboxes and he uses defensive technique to capitalize on their weakness, right? You want to see somebody running. Watch Nate beating up McGregor, and McGregor turn his back and jog around the fucking cage. That's running. That boy was running.
Yeah. Man, you said that. So I wanted to ask you, what would you say is like your, how do you feel personally after you've defeated an opponent? Because I know, see, like, I wrestled in high school and I wrestled a little bit in college, and I know it's such a great feeling to have your hand raised, you know, after cutting weight and out-wrestling this guy and everything. It's such a great, it's the greatest feeling in the world. But I know that it's got to be 10 times that to dominate, because what MMA fighters do is, like, you guys dominate, you know, fighting, whether it be knockout, submission. How does it feel for you personally after you've defeated an opponent?
It varies. It definitely varies. You know, that I've been in fights where we touch gloves, he shoots in, I catch him in a guillotine, finish him in 10 seconds. And I've been in fights where we've beat the dog shit out of each other for 15 minutes, and, you know, takedowns on both sides, punches and kicks and knees and submission attempts on both sides, and just, you know, completely drained, standing there, you know, so tired that you can barely raise your head, blood, sweat pouring out of your body, and you're just waiting to figure out, you know, what these judges' opinion is, you know.
Right.
So being on both sides of that, I got to say it's a great feeling. It's surreal, you know, when there's nothing left in you. You know, you're completely tapped out emotionally, physically, you know, and your hand gets raised, and it's just a burst of energy, like all this sacrificing and everything, all this hard work, all these grueling sessions, you know, all the ice cream that you didn't get to eat.
Yes, yes.
You know, it paid off. It paid off, you know, because it didn't have to. It didn't have to. You could have did all this work and lost in the first 10 seconds, but you didn't. You know, you pulled it out, you grinded, you bit down on that mouthpiece, you took those hits, and you came forward. So to me, I would say it's an amazing feeling.
Absolutely, absolutely. Rick, how do you want to be remembered in 50 years from now? I know that, you know, we all have this idea of what a legacy is, and, you know, there's things that we want to leave behind for the people that we love. You yourself as a fighter and you know, as a family man and everything, how do you want to be remembered 50 years from now?
Oh, man. As a good man, you know, overall. You know, you said something there, family man. I'm very fortunate. You know, I have the best fiance in the world, 3 amazing children. My support system is just limitless. You know, I have being in Bay Area, I have just the top tier athletes around me, and so much knowledge that I get to absorb, and so many coaches that take me under their wing, and, you know, it's been an awesome ride so far, you know, and I just want to be remembered that as a man that put everybody first, you know, and that was consistent in doing that, you know. I'm a firm believer of paying it forward, and, you know, not being a product of your environment, you know, reaching out and overcoming these obstacles. And that's what I've been doing ever since I was a kid. So being in this position now where I'm not a superstar, you know, but I have the ability to use some of this as a platform towards what I'm trying to do. You know, it might seem cliche, but I'm giving back as much as I can. You know, down at our gym, we have a youth self-defense class. We have a woman self-defense class. We have a class for where we're helping, you know, I don't want to be politically incorrect, disabled men and women, mentally and physically. We're all, you know, and you know what, when I opened up this gym with Sean Sharkey, I bounced around quite a bit. And I've seen kids get turned away left and right because they couldn't afford it. They didn't have the funds. And I was that kid. I was that kid. That was me right there. You know, single parent, never no money, just enough to keep the lights on. So I know that feeling. So being in the position I'm in now, you know, it's like, man, we don't make very much money down at our gym. We get by. But I'll tell you what, man, I never turned away a kid. Not one time.
Absolutely.
So these are the things that I want to be remembered for, you know. I'm trying to make everybody proud. You know, I want my great grandparents to pass away. They were a big impact on my life and the man I am today. So for me, what I'm constantly reminding myself is I want them to look down with pride the same way my children look up with pride.
Absolutely, absolutely, man. You're so right, Rick. And like, I had no idea, you know, about your gym, like, the amount of things that you sow into the community and, like you said, the empowerment that you're trying to give people. I think that that's, like, that's so commendable. Man, that's amazing. And I know, like, you were talking about this before when we first opened up the interview, but you said, you know, your background, like, you had from the greatest background. Tell me about your life where it was a really tough time, but you made it through. What was it that helped you to get through the rough patches in your life to get you to where you are today?
Oh, man. Yeah, kind of lost for words with that one, honestly. You know, growing up, I always looked to my great grandfather as a walking billboard. You know, that was my main male role model growing up. You know, and this guy, man, bless his heart, you know. He worked his life away and didn't ever ask for much and always gave every bit he had. He's the type of man that would give you his shirt off the back in the middle of a storm. And, you know, that's definitely not an over-exaggeration either. You know, that's really how he was. And I grew up in, you know, not having that father figure there. I always looked to him. But being, like I said in the beginning, being the knucklehead that I was, you know, I tended to choose the wrong path. But that was definitely some motivation that helped guide me along my way. Still to this day, you know, like I said, I know he's looking down, and I find comfort in knowing that I'm making him proud daily.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. That's awesome. Yeah, because I think, you know, like, and I'm not an expert, but I think, like, you need that type of person, that father, you know, authoritarian figure in your life, you know, as a young man, to kind of help you to give you, like, the blueprint on what it is to be a good man, a good, you know, good father, a leader.
No,
and
I agree.
Man, that's
definitely hard for a woman to teach a young man how to be a grown man.
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're so right. Well, Rick, man, I want to thank you so much for this interview. I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak with you. And I wanted to ask you, my very last question is what's on the horizon for you? I know that you've been training like crazy. Will you be fighting this year?
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, I'm still contracted with Bellator. I've had some local venues hit me up, but you know, I'm kind of holding out for Bellator, and then I'm also going to be making my pro debut in boxing coming up this year. So in the meantime, I'm just training, staying healthy, and then trying to be the best mixed martial artist / boxer I can be.
Absolutely, man, that's awesome, Rick. That is awesome. Where can our listening audience find out more about you and kind of keep abreast of what you're doing?
You know, I have my own website, rickrieger.net. I also have on Instagram, the rickrieger925. You can find me on Twitter, rickrieger925. I'm pretty much on every social media now. Facebook, you know, I have the Rick Rieger page. And I also have my athlete page, Rick Boomer Rieger. So, I'm like Visa, man. I'm everywhere.
I love it, man. Well, Rick, thank you so much, man. It's an honor to be able to speak with you, and I'm all.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I just wanted to open the floor back up to you if there's anything you'd like to say. I'm all out of questions, but just I wanted to thank you so much.
Oh no, man. First and foremost, thank you, man. I appreciate you having me on the show. I had a blast. Anytime I'm welcome back, please let me know. Also, you know, I want to just give a special shout out to all my family, friends, and all the fans, whether you're a fan of me or not. Thanks for being a fan. You know, I'm really appreciate it. I've been blessed, man, to be in the position I'm in, and so I got to got to thank God for that.
Absolutely.
Thank all my supporters, you know, Boomer Nation. That's my supporters' titles, you know. So got to give them a shout out. Nothing but love for everybody that supported me along my journey.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Rick, thank you so much, man. Looking forward to some really great things from you this year, and we'll definitely keep promoting you and letting the fans know about, you know, what you've got going on. So thank you so much, man.
No, thank you for having me, man. You have a good one.
All right, you too.
All right, brother.
Guys, that was Rick Rieger. We'll put the link to his website in the body of this post. Make sure to hit the subscribe button and follow us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Whitney Radio.
This is Redefining the Counterculture on Whitten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at whittenradio.com.